you ready? I said, are you ready? You are listening to Voice of the Fans Sportscast, brought to you by none other than the voices of the fans. Discussing football, basketball, news, trending topics. The one-stop shop for all things sports. Voice of the Fans Sportscast. Hosted by none other than Ben Swift Reynolds, Taylor Gatwood, 100% RC, Professor Damian Flowers, and Tyler Wright.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of Voice of a Fan Sportscast. I'm your host, Ben Swift Reynolds. We have Professor Flowers. It's just us two tonight. What's going on, man?
Hump Day Wednesday, man. Another day down. Two more to go.
Well, I'm off tomorrow. I only have a four-day work week at my job. Hey, man, we work long hours, Flowers. Sometimes I work 10 to 12. It just all depends on what time we get done with our route.
I feel you. Hey, I ain't gonna hound you about your route.
I feel you. I see you got the clean cut going on there.
Yeah, man.
White. Look at that.
She got tired of the fro. She said I had to do. It was time.
Right. She said you can't be out here looking like no caveman now.
Nah, I'm not looking. I like growing out my fro, just for a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. You get about a month, I'm ready to cut it because it grows so fast still to this day.
Yeah, I kind of miss my hair, so I'm kind of jealous of y'all guys.
Yeah, I ain't missed a beat. You know, everybody ain't blessed with this.
Hey, I got the beard. Yeah. I might need to be like you and just grow out my beard since I can't grow out my hair. I just need to do that.
That's your best bet, man. The thicker the beard, the manlier you are.
Okay, I feel you. Okay. Professor Flowers with another great tip. I'll write that down. All right, so let's start this thing off. Let's talk about Stephon Diggs getting traded to the Texans, man. That was huge. I seen where on Twitter Stephon Diggs was commenting on this guy post. Let me put it up. Cause it's kind of funny how he responded to the guy tweet. Then I think it's a couple hours later he got traded, man. Mm-hmm. This dude said, "Does Josh benefit from having a top tier receiver? Yes. Is he essential to his success?" And he said, "No." Then under that, Stephon Diggs said, "Are you sure? You sure?" That's what he said. So I guess we're gonna find out. Diggs out the door, Texans looking pretty. They the new darling of the NFL. Everybody want to take her out?
Texas.
Yeah, new darling of the NFL. Everybody falling in love with that team. What were your initial reaction to this trade from the Buffalo Bills and the Texans?
Not surprised. I mean, I feel like we've been getting hints for the last year, maybe 2 years, that, I mean, we've been saying since we've been on the show that the ship is sinking. And, well, I don't want to say the ship is sinking, but more of the window is closing. I think that's mm-hmm. the better analogy for it. Stephon Diggs, I guess he feels the same way, and he doesn't want to be there anymore. I can't speak for what's going on in the locker room. You know, was it a problem with him or Allen? I sent the message to the chat today was saying that Josh Allen didn't know that they were trading him. I disagree, but that's another story. But I guess, the ship was just set to sail for Stephon Diggs and the Bills, and I guess it was more of him wanting out than them, but I don't get
right.
I don't get Buffalo's aim with it because we got a second-round pick that doesn't apply until next year, and it's like they gave mm-hmm. stuff just to get rid of them, and they're taking like a $30 million cap hit. So why not just keep them another year if you're going to take a $30 million cap hit? I guess, the milk was that sour. They didn't want him, and you know, you help Stroud and Houston out. I don't understand why they do that thing. I'm not just saying it's because I'm an Indianapolis fan, but I just figure, you know, if there's a problem with Diggs, why send him to a situation that would benefit him? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they could have sent him anywhere. And I'm not trying to knock the trade. I'm just, if there was a problem with the organization, I just feel like, you know, why would you do him the favor? But, hey, what's another, you know, man's trash is another man's treasure. So C.J. Stroud, he got a good one, you know, paired with Tank Dell and Nico Collins and Schultz. And that offense ought to be explosive.
With Joe missing in the backfield. My goodness, man. It's like the Jaguars might be, if they don't bring it with Trevor, man, they looking for uphill battle with the Colts and the Texans now. So it's going to be crazy. My reaction to this was, dang, this must have been really that bad. Because we saw Stephon Diggs be upset about his catches, his targets, him with his subliminal messages online and in the media. And I felt like it was about that time, you know, especially in that falling out from the last playoff game with the Bengals. And we saw Stephon Diggs on tirade. I just feel like they were thinking to themselves, okay, he's bringing all this baggage, but the production is not living up to what he's bringing, you know, with this baggage. And so I did a little research with this Diggs and Allen combination. And I kind of saw it in the playoffs, too, where Diggs – I know RC brought it up. He was like, man, Diggs, he just don't seem like he's that same guy, you know. And so let me think more about that. So the last – well, we can say the last 10 weeks of the NFL, he only had one touchdown. That's the cool playoffs, right?
And the team got better in the stretch, too. That's the key thing.
Mm-hmm. We saw Josh Allen passing the ball around, you know, getting Cook getting catches at the backfield. He became a dual threat. And so I was just like, okay, his production has went down. Last year, he had 1,130 yards. You know, that's a down year compared to what he previous been doing since 2019. And so in the playoffs, he wasn't the leading receiver. I bet you can guess who it was.
Was it Shakur?
Nah.
Or the tight end.
Yep. Dalton Kincaid was the leading receiver for the Bills in the playoffs, man.
But so, let me hold on now. Before we get too far off the rail about saying Stephon Diggs has lost a step, let's be fair in saying him being there takes a lot off of. I mean, Kincaid is legit. Don't get me wrong. But those receivers that they had there, you know, you can, you know, double or play somebody over the top of Stephon, and you know, they give those guys that one-on-one. So let's not just say he just was fully diminished, because also, I mean, I understand he caught what, average five balls, like 40 yards his last, what, eight games of the year. Right. Like first six or seven, he was – eight plus targets a game.
He was averaging nine targets a game.
And then the second half, he's catching five balls and averaging 40 yards. But they're winning, so, you know, you can kind of see where the argument comes in with he's not what he was. But in a sense, you kind of feel like he was capped off. And I will be honest when I say that. You kind of feel like that they wasn't trying to get him involved. I think – I guess I don't want to say ego. That's the only word I can say. Maybe his ego wanted to still be the main focus. And, of course, that's what's not needed in Buffalo. But, I mean, we've been saying that, man, they missed the window of opportunity, you know, the last two or 3 years.
Well, I'm saying it because they will say he bringing all this extra stuff into the locker room when his numbers has been declining over year. And like you said, I couldn't find the exact number of how many times he was being double teamed or with the safety on the top. Couldn't really find that.
It was heavy. It wasn't nothing dramatic. Because you can get him the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There are ways to get him. Screen, you just don't have to hit him over plays. The top or anything. You can get him the ball.
But do we see a discretion? just a digression from Diggs, because like I said, yards after catch was 10.7, and that's the second lowest since 2018. Like I said, his numbers are still there because of hot targets. If it weren't for the hard targets volume, where would it look like? Because I feel like sometimes he was force feeding the ball to Diggs. I feel like there was a lot of Josh Allen turnovers because you saw that. I think what play was that? He threw a deep ball to double coverage to Diggs.
We can't blame that on Diggs because Josh Allen was making those decisions.
But he wants the ball. He's screaming over there.
But you can't sit up here and air Diggs out because his quarterback is throwing to him in double coverage, man.
Hey, it was like the Dak scenario. It reminded me of this mind game I can play on the field with guys, like best receivers. If I know that a guy not getting the ball a lot, I'd be like, hey, man, your quarterback ain't throwing you the ball. What's up with that? You know, it's just a little nugget. And we saw that with CeeDee Lamb. I also probably from CeeDee Lamb when he went over there and said something like, bro, you know, give me the ball, playoff time. Soon, the next play, exactly. The next play,
I'm telling you, man, you've been getting the best. That's where so many quarterbacks, and maybe they have these discussions behind doors. Like, it's cool that you want the ball, but like this, okay, the CeeDee Lamb one, for instance. If I'm Dak, and Dak is not this kind of person, I'm saying if I was Dak, we would have had some words on the sideline, like, man, I've been throwing you a damn ball all year. Relax, calm down. Excuse my language, calm down.
We're going to get you involved. Don't worry. We're going to get you involved.
Yeah,
I think that he should have.
Let's relax. Yeah, just relax.
Yeah, you know, he should have trust the offense, knows, trust the play calling. Yeah, knows, but I feel like that this might help the Bills offense.
How?
A lot of people are like, man, you lost a big target. Because, like I said, now you're going to have to put together a good game plan where Josh Allen can't force feed a guy.
But
that means you're gonna have to.
You can say all that, but Josh Allen is not
run the ball. Mahomes.
You cannot just. I feel like you can't just plug and play anybody in that. Like they, but they lost Gabe Davis. They lost Diggs.
Shakir taking over Gabe.
Okay, Shakir is taking over, but that was when Diggs was there. Like I said, he was getting one on ones, and he wasn't getting the best corner guard. He wasn't getting the number one or the number two DB guarding him. He was getting the number three. He was getting a nickel or whatever else because he was in the slot.
But can you feel that they were trying to get away from, you know, him, Josh Allen, throwing the ball a lot? They were trying to become more balanced. Yes.
I mean, but there's both sides of this, man. There are valid points on both sides. I mean, I can dig on both sides. I can defend both sides. I'm not trying to make this like I'm one-sided with Diggs. But I don't want to just slander the man and make it like he wasn't a difference maker there, because he was. You know, he's top five in the last 4 years in every statistical category. So to say that he wasn't beneficiary to Josh Allen, I'm not going to do that, man. Josh Allen didn't take off until Stephon Diggs got there. That's fair.
But after all this showing, all this making the playoffs, nothing to show for it, why not? You're not winning with him. You might as well just try to get younger on that side of the ball.
I understand the move, but overall, I think Most Known said something in the chat about Von Miller's contract.
Yeah, he said that messed up the Bills financially.
I agree that the Von Miller contract was terrible. You know, they could have got out of it. I'm quite sure they're probably trying to get out of it as we speak. Who knows? But you got to think of all they've lost. Like, the Bills are turning back into a mid-tier team, in my opinion. They've lost
some secondary pieces.
They've lost too much. And you got Aaron Rodgers coming back. You got Tua. You got
Texans. Herbert,
you got the Texans, you got us, you got Jay, you got too much going on in the
Steelers.
Yeah, like everybody's, you know, revving up and y'all are going backwards. You know, Josh Allen can't afford to lose weapons, but I'm quite sure they're gonna have to draft one or two receivers. You know, it's too late in free agency, unless you're gonna trade. Go get, you know, I just thought of this. Go get T. Higgins. Go trade for T. Higgins. Go trade for Brandon Ayuk. You know,
that's right. They haven't. They haven't. You're right. They haven't traded T. Higgins yet. Oh, I'll just look at the free agency wide receivers that's available now. Tyler Boyd. If I were them, Tyler Boyd would be number one. Then Mike Thomas, and DJ Chalk, Chase Pool, Chase Claypool, and Russell Gage are still out there. No, so
that's like going to dirt cheap. We're not going
hey, to that's they need receivers right now. That's for till like, you get to draft and you get your guy. That's a lot of receivers in the draft. I don't know, Tyler Boyd, man.
Tyler, out of all the people you said, Tyler Boyd is probably all
empty.
The
you want to try to get empty?
I just look, he been so one year deal for the last 3 years. I might give him a 1 year deal, bring him to camp or something, but I probably would invest in the future. I'm thinking that's what
right, I think they will
about to do. They're probably like, look, the ship is sailed with Diggs, a few of the vets that we had to let go. So yeah, they're probably about to make a new chapter.
All right, they're going to draft a guy. I believe when I looked, they picked 27th.
27th,
28th. I had that right. I'm looking on my other computer. I clicked off of it. But I'm pretty sure that I think I saw they picking 27th.
Yes, 27th, all right. 28th.
All right, since RC's not here, I guess I'll take over some of his teams. Let's go ahead and get into the NFC East. No, NFC, yeah, NFC East and NFC South draft needs. Who did I give you? I gave you the Cowboys, Panthers, Bucks. You want to take the Falcons since the Panthers don't have a first round pick?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Let's go with NFC South, Falcons.
Falcons. Look, they got a quarterback, so that's something they don't need anymore. They're still picking top 15. I'm probably taking the best available weapon, whether that's adding to the secondary or even just adding to the offense. But if I were the Falcons, I'm probably adding to the defense since the offense is probably well rounded in the first round. Give Raheem a nice pick far as whether that's an edge rusher, whether it's the Turner kid, or try to get one of the better DBs, you know, to fit in the secondary. That's what I would do.
Right, they're very thin on the D-line, so I agree with that. Get an edge rusher. You're already set on the offense side of the ball, so continue to focus on that. I have the Saints, man. All our troubles is in the trenches, D-line, O-line. You know, of course, receiver would be nice, but I think we go offensive line since
tackle.
Trevor Penning then. Yeah, that too. And Trevor Penning didn't pan out just right. He's still in work. So I'll go like J.C. Lantham from Alabama, sure up our O-line to give Derek Carr some more time because we basically just took sticks, glue, and paper and try to patch up the O-line. So Derek Carr would be, you know, protected better by taking the offensive lineman here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at y'all if y'all was a tackle.
Right. I heard that the Jets were trying to trade out of the 10th spot.
I wouldn't be – look. If the Jets are trying to trade out the 10th spot, I wouldn't mind us going up to that 10th spot.
What I really would. Where y'all picking it? 16th?
15th, I want to say. 14th or 15th.
Who would you want to trade up for if you wanted the 10th spot?
If the wideout from Washington was still there, I would take that.
What about Brock?
I'm thinking Brock Bowers. I'm thinking Roma Dunzier, if he's there. I'm thinking whoever's the best corner available at this spot. And even if the Turner kid from Alabama, because I think he's probably the best pass rusher coming out, and if you want to pick that high. We're fine where we are, but I'm just saying, like, if my magic wish, and I'm getting off topic, we can get back on. Is for Marvin Harrison Jr. to get past 5.
How are these people talking about quarterbacks right now?
Quarterbacks, too. And if somebody, if neighbors, like, got put in front of Marvin Harrison and the fact that, and I'm just saying, if Harrison got below 5, I wouldn't be shocked if we tried to go up and go get him. I would not be shocked.
That's why you do your pro day. That's why you do your pro day.
They got enough data. I mean, they got enough. Like somebody like that, like Marvin Harrison Jr. like, you know, they wear stuff in practices up that way nowadays. Mm-hmm. They being logged in practices, so you know how fast they running and everything else. So, you know what Marvin Harrison is. Marvin Harrison Jr.
It'd be fresh, though. When that pro day, I think it just solidifies. Cause everybody, it'd be front page. Cause my, right now, Monique Neighbors, man, his name is, like, flashing well, right
he,
now.
He did that to help himself. See, but right. That's the difference.
You think, Will. You think like, if neighbors, Marvin Harrison would did it?
Neighbors needed that. Not to say Neighbors. I mean, Neighbors is a top 15 pick, regardless, and whether he did a pro day or not. But him doing right. a pro day, you seeing how fast he was, and mm-hmm. okay, looking at his numbers, and so it makes sense why he was so productive. So he looks like Jamar Chase in my opinion. So I see him going top five, top seven. Marvin Harrison Jr. You want me to give you a good comparison on him? I don't need to see him run a 40 to tell you who he looked like to me. He looked like a professional. I mean, he looks like a better Larry Fitzgerald. Coming out of college. And Larry Fitzgerald was spectacular at Pitt. Right. He looks just like that. Like he reminds me so much of that when we were growing up and seeing this kid, and I'm talking about Fitzgerald, man, just jumping people on fade routes and stuff with a precise route runner. Look, the kid is prime. Like I said, hey, Arizona, look, if Arizona didn't stay in that spot, I'm quite sure they take him. But we'll see.
Yeah, we know the Cardinals are taking a receiver for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I think I had you, Falcons. So I had RC at Bucs. Okay, I take the Bucs. They need to go receiver. Mike Thomas again, long in the tooth there. Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. Who else besides there? Yeah, Godwin, but Brian Thomas Jr., just another guy to throw it to. Get Baker another weapon, get the offense rolling. They don't need too much. They still have a pretty good defense, pretty good D-line. The O-line is solid. So why not just go get another weapon to help out Baker?
That's a secondary help, too. Well, I know you're talking about first round, but, like, try to address the secondary, especially the way
Ty. Yeah, you lost Carlton Davis. And Sean Murphy Bunting, I think he left last year.
He left last year.
So who was the second corner?
Wasn't it Dean? Oh, he's gone too, right?
Oh yeah, Jamal Dean, Mr. Cook Sausage Dean.
Yeah, that's your boy.
Yeah, that's my boy right there. Dean Sausage.
They still got Winfield back there too.
Yeah, Winfield back there. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the NFC East.
We're missing one.
Panthers don't have a first rounder.
But just regardless, I'll just
you okay, do Carolina Panthers fans a solid? Help them out.
I can't do them people like that. Even though I'm doing them like that. Pick, they did make some signings in the free agency, but mainly y'all gonna have to hit on y'all picks. But just try to find some depth for the offensive line. Defense is still pretty good. I know you lost Brian Branch. You got some picks back for that. So just add some depth to the offense, man. Build around your quarterback with the majority of your picks.
I feel you on that. Help out. Help out a little pink team.
Much as you can. Got to.
All right. Yeah, you don't want your boy getting hurt. He only weighed 150 soaking wet. I stand by that.
I can't argue.
All right. Flowers, let's go with the Cowboys.
Cowboys, man, they need a lot. But the main thing they need, they need a tackle, man, first round. In my opinion, Tyron Smith, man, they have to protect Dax Blindside. So they're going to have to pick an offensive tackle, in my opinion. Whoever's available at the time, I doubt they trade up. They need to hold all their chips to be able to continue to stockpile people on their roster because they're going to be out of so much money in the cap. So they got to continue to build.
Yep, I totally agree. I have the Commanders. I'm going with Jaden Daniels. I feel like he fit Kiff Kingsbury very well, especially with his feet and big arm. I think they can do wonders together, just like Kyler. You know, he put up big numbers when Cliff was there. So Jaden Daniels, he fitting prime right there for Washington to make play on him. And I don't know. I really can't tell if what the Commanders do this year if they take Jaden Daniels.
It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to Dallas after I say this. The Commanders also need to build that offensive line.
Right. Because Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell got obliterated. And if they do draft Jaden Daniels is 2'10". You know, he's a lean kid. You know, he's going to take a few years to get into his body. So I know he can run around and stuff, but in that division, with those kind of pass rushes he's going to see, if you do draft Jaden Daniels, if you don't go with the bigger Drake May or something like that, try to make sure to add depth on the offensive line around them. Try to shore it up to help the kid. And Dallas, I just want to add this too. I know I just said first round, you need to take a tackle. In that draft, I know they're talking about Ezekiel Elliott maybe coming back. They're probably going to have to get a back fourth, fifth round. Hopefully they can last out that long. But if they got any second, third round picks, second, third round, fourth round, defensive line, defensive tackle, have to shore it up. I know they lost some people. And linebackers, man, draft some linebackers to get into the rotation, man, to help stop the run.
I totally agree. Washington, they either can just leapfrog. I don't know they can leapfrog. I don't know. Yeah, they probably if they can really put it together, they can leapfrog the Cowboys. That team is getting dismantled.
Yeah, the Cowboys teetering. Are kind of teetering, man.
They look a little haze, don't they? Look, they took a shot.
Yeah, and they're laying for a little shaking, a little wobbling, man.
All right. I say the Commanders. Giants. Let's go Giants. Get Flowers.
Giants. Look, I understand that they do want another quarterback, but I don't think they can pass up. I mean, unless it's just somebody they like right there at number five, or I think it's number five where they pick. If you want Daniel Jones, go get him a weapon. Go get him Neighbors. Go get him a doozy.
Right.
Marvin Harrison Jr., if he's right there. You're going to have to get them somebody to be able to help the offense because with Saquon gone, they're going to have some playmakers on the field. So why not get the best one available at the fifth pick?
I totally agree, man. Since they got rid of Saquon, let's invest in Daniel Jones and get him a receiver. Let's see if that really was the problem, that he ain't had nobody to throw to. And if he fall flat on his face again and they have another terrible record, I don't know. I don't know if Coach Pryor lets Shadur go to New York, but
I know that.
Yeah, right. Like, you definitely ain't going there.
Right. Valid, though, because they like the spot. They were right. Like
the Big Apple, right? More deals coming out of New York than anything. Mm-hmm. All right, I have the Eagles. I think it's pretty simple what the Eagles need. Corner. They need defense. Corner. Go corner. Darius Slay again. You know, they call Darius Slay shut down type corner, but he had trouble tackling. Yeah, he had trouble to tackle. Bradbury, he's gone, right?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't be shocked if he wouldn't. Like that's like the general insurance is cheap.
Right. I don't think they ever addressed it. Let me look at their free agency tracker. I don't think they ever addressed
no
corner in free agency, if I'm not mistaken.
Didn't they sign Gardner Johnson back?
Yep. Well, yeah, Gardner, he played nickel and safety. Yeah. Tyler Hall? I don't even know who that is. What RC say? He sweat.
You lose your best, maybe your best offensive lineman.
Reddick, he's gone. Jets picked him up, so they got a lot of work to do on the defense side of the ball. All right, we went Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, Giants.
We did the whole.
All right, man. So that's our little draft needs for NC South and NC East, man. The draft is coming up to the end of April. April the 27th?
26th? Yeah, it's usually around that time. Yeah, it's usually around that time,
26, 27. All right, so we're going to move on to our basketball segment, guys. If y'all are new to the show, it's called Fast Break. All right, man, we're going to talk about some women's basketball. They saw the highest numbers of viewers for the LSU and Indiana game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, our game. The score was 94 to 87. So a lot of people been going back and forth about Angel Reese. A lot of people, they happy because he lost. And everybody was saying, you know, she got owned up to all trash talk that she's been doing. She said she want to be a villain now and she can't play the sympathy card. Wow, what was your whole reaction to, you know, her press conference and, you know, that whole game entirely?
The press conference, I hated it in a sense. And I'm not trying to say she maybe that she does. I can't sit up here and say what Angel Reese is really feeling, but mm-hmm. in my opinion, I feel like she should have took it like a champ and just said that, you know, I will play better and they got the win. And, you know, it is what it is. But when you're winning and you're on top of the world, Angel Reese, she bathed in it. She flourished in it. Look, you got to be able to take it if you're going to dish it. I'm not going to kill her about it. Like I said, I just wish that she would have took it like a champ more than just I feel like she gave the people what the people wanted as far as an excuse, as far as, like I said, I'm not going to comment on the death threats and this and that. You know, however you feel about that, that's how you feel about it. You know, I wouldn't want nobody sending me, you know, I would take, you know, I wouldn't look at, I wouldn't pay the shit no mind, but like I say, people are different. Mm-hmm. So I can't sit up here and judge her for saying, you know, that affected her. So I wish her well going to the WNBA. I just felt like, can we go on to Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you want to say something about Angel.
Well, yeah, I'll say this.
Let me say this too before you say it. I don't like the narrative that was put on her. That I will say. I just feel like people got it, or not, and not everybody, but a lot of the stuff I've seen and read online, you know, people get to talking that
trolls.
Yeah. You know, like I said, obviously they didn't like her because she talks. Mm-hmm. But I'm cool with it. Like, I don't understand why people get upset at somebody talking shit to somebody. You know, that's back and forth in these games. I like it. It shows me you care. I mean, believe it or not. You know, if you're passionate about it, talk. But back it up. That's all back I can say. You know, that's what we don't want to see, but we can't sit up here and you see men fighting in hockey, you see people talk shit to each other in basketball, football, and we're cool with it, but then when a woman does it, and especially a woman of our color, it's all bad. So that's I don't wanna sit up here and make it like Angel Reese is a bad person. Even though she played into that villainous role when they won the championship. Yeah, it just made her dislikable because everybody just hates the way she carried herself. But I don't think she's a bad girl. I think she played well. No, she fouled out. Caitlin Clark's just on a different level, man. Mm. But I'll let you say what you was gonna say.
Right. With the whole Angel Reese thing, I thought that's what they wanted in women basketball. You know, the trash talking, the jeering, the back and forth. You know, the competitive nature, competitive spirit. And it just proved that, you know, the people that watch women basketball don't really know what they want. They want the girls to act this type of way or do this type of way when, you know, these are athletes, man. If you play the sports, you know you're going to have trash talk. You're going to come at the individual, the best player versus best player. And to be honest, that's what I liked about her starting off. Like, she wasn't apologetic about it, you know. She gonna let the team know, like, we here to play, we here to you know, talk the noise and back it up. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I feel like people were just coming for it for the wrong reason. when, you know, she have proven herself that she's a legit player and that she can back it up. And, you know, the trolls that come there like, well, you know, she said this and say that and she doing all this. Mm-hmm. But that's just part of her character. You know, we seen Kobe, man. We seen Kobe trash talk. We see Jordan trash talk. But they don't treat them like they did Angel Reese. You know, it just I don't know if it feels kind of a certain way when
it's dirty. It feels so dirty because especially when you get the media involved. You got the LA Times writing stuff about Kim Mulkey and team, and it doesn't make any sense. And you're talking about convicts versus the Catholics.
They called them, yeah, they called them, what they said, in the newspaper, they called them, but they called them something else. I don't know the word they use.
But
they just compare the banner. I mean, I don't understand y'all pick and choose, you know, the people that can talk trash and the people who can't. Like, what's the guideline here, people? I mean, she just playing the game with Capella the Spirit, and that's, you can't hate on that. But like you brought up the press conference, yeah, I feel like she should have been more congratulative. I don't know if that's a word, but more
toward Caitlin Clark. Like
a
champ, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like yeah, they came to play. That was a better team tonight. Caitlin's amazing. She brought her A game. We know we can do about it. Salute to her, but I feel like they made more about themselves and their feelings, trying to play the victim now. Mm-hmm. When you talk noise, you gotta take it back. Now you gotta take the punch on the chin. I have done it many times when I'm talking noise. Then this, you know, I lost the game, and now I gotta sit here like a man and shake hands and tell them like, bro, you did your thing, bro. You came out here and you put on the show. And they just made it feel like more of like, oh, y'all do this on us. Like, y'all made us top notch. Y'all made us, you know, into these people. Yeah. But, well, y'all was there all along. Y'all was the bad boys, bad girls at LSU. That's how y'all were.
And that's fine. That's fine. But, like I say, you can't be a bad girl and then get in the conference and cry wolf, you know?
Right. Caitlin Clark, man, I have never seen a defender turn around and do this towards her teammate. Like, what y'all want me to do? Y'all want me to throw a shoe at her? Y'all want me to trip her? Like, what? I was like, dang, you know it's over when your teammate turn around and do this. Nah, bro, you figure it out.
I mean, it wouldn't just been golf. I mean, I seen 3-4 different people they tried to put.
Angel Reese did it. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to trap her. She beat the traps. Mm. She shot, you know, when she got a screen set. She pulled up 35 feet.
Right. I was thinking about, I like, man, I remember when I played, we on the best player, if they were that good, we used to run a box and one. But I don't even think a box and one would even stop help that. Like you have a legit defender play Boston one.
It doesn't make a difference if she's pulling up from 35 feet, and especially if she's coming down the floor. If they're not trapping her at the half court line, which they
got to trap right there.
You got to trap her right there at the half court line, get the ball out of her hand. But like I said, she did a good job of reading traps. They set great screens for, you know, she would shoot on command for us when she got solid screens. Nobody could close out because they went under the screens. So, I mean, it's a cheat code, man, because, like you say, you could have played a boxing one, you know, as far as if you don't know what boxing one is, there's somebody pretty much just face guarding you, you know, no matter what you do. But if you screen the boxing one person, and if she's getting mismatched as far as big people on her, like Angel, like she could take them to the hole. She has handled
right.
12 assists, you know. People are hitting shots for. She played a great game, man. Like she left no stone unturned, in my opinion.
She did, and she's a legit passer. So, like I said, the Boston one probably won't work. Cause most time when you do run a Boston one, the person is legitimate, just a scorer, right? Mm-hmm. But Caitlin Clark, she moved like Reggie Miller, you know, off the screens and stuff, and that's hard to guard. And It just shows that she's legit, man. And when she make it to WNBA, gonna be all eyes on her. Man, she even got a invite from the Big Three, man.
That is correct.
Do you think that? I know it's kind of like a a ploy or a gimmick, but
I don't know, gimmick. That's legit. That's legit.
Well, I'm saying like a gimmick in a sense where it'll be a gimmick for her. Those are professionals.
Like, I mean, no, that's a way to make money for her because the Big Three only play like once or twice a week.
You think she'll do it though?
I doubt it. I just she was in the off season. I mean, I heard $5 million. I heard Q talk about it on All the Smoke. He didn't say the number. He said if she accepts it, you'll hear it then. So he really didn't throw the number out. But I mean, it's 3-on-3. She's a shooter. She can create space. She can do it. And other women could too. But I think Q's vision with it is to use her to broaden his broadcasting. You know, so that would be exposure for her and the league. You know, both could grow. I mean, Caitlin's going to go to the WNBA. Well, this draft class, in my opinion, is going to go to the WNBA. And hopefully it's the class that changes as far as financial benefits for these ladies and stuff. They're playing in this league. They can start making some great money as far as turning that 75 into half a million, if $1 million for everybody. So that's what I'm hoping for.
If they can get viewership like they did the NCAA tournament, then WNBA is on the rise. Right. It's on the rise. That means it's a good job for the women. The pay rate is going up. Better, you know, better flights. Like that,
you know, TV that they'll want to get TV deals. You know, some TV deals. Mm-hmm. And you can start making some good money.
Right. Got that right. All right. So the NBA play-in tournament, what? It's 2 weeks from now?
About 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. Teams are they ramping up right now. Miami 7th, Philadelphia 8th, Chicago 9th, Atlanta 10th. Brooklyn Nets is 29-47. Atlanta is 36-40. You think those are four teams they're gonna play?
Yeah, Brooklyn East. Brooklyn ain't competing. Yeah, Brooklyn ain't gonna make that. I can tell you that now.
So
those are gonna be the 14.
Yep, they're gonna be the 14. So it's set in stone.
How far is the 7 and the 6 seed apart from each other?
Oh yeah, Pacers at 43, Miami at 42.
So that's what we're gonna have to watch right there because that 6 seed is important because like I said, if you get that 6 seed, you don't have to play in the play in. So look for Miami to make a push, but Indiana's been playing some good ball lately as well. But this is the time of the year when Miami makes their push.
And 76ers at 41 right now. They just got Embiid back.
Embiid is back, though. That's scary. Now, I know he's not 100%, and it would depend on matchups, but, you know, having Embiid out there, man, with that team, that's a dangerous first-round matchup if they can make it.
That's real dangerous, man. Y'all, you saw him. You saw they signed with New Balance. I mean, not New Balance, Skechers. Yeah,
you know what? If I was 10 years ago, I'd probably be like, "What the hell?" But now that I'm an older person, I ain't really, you know, that's what's up. I ain't mad at it. I wear Skechers. I wear Skechers to work. Shit, the motherfuckers are comfortable.
Like, I can see you sipping on those slip on shoes. Like, man, I'm about to tie my shoes.
I got time. We'll do a slip on. Might have to run.
Hey, they be who would that do that commercial? Was it Larry Bird or somebody trying to sell them slip on Skechers? Like, you ain't got tight shoes.
Shit, Larry Judd, Joe Montana did Skechers.
Yeah, Joe Montana, no boys, no old man. Hey, what's the point is somebody in the comments said that that's why his knee's hurting right now.
He wasn't playing
Skechers. I thought he played Skechers last year.
No, he was an unarmed guy.
Man, I wonder what happened there. How unarmed dropped that ball?
Yeah, he's an unarmed guy. You remember he had the Joel Embiid for them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We sell me Hibbits when I worked there. What's so funny is, though, we have Kawhi with New Balance, then Joel Embiid with Skechers. But they getting the mass money out of the company, so.
New Balance. You hating on New Balance. New Balance got some nice shoes.
Mm-hmm. They do right now, man. You remember the what was that? 520s? No, what was them shoes everybody's wearing in high school? It was the
420s?
320s.
I think that was it. You know, yeah, I know the the colorways, like
The different colorways.
They still look good to this day. Like everybody's just so stuck on Nike
and Adidas. We'll get to that most unknown. We'll get to that. The West. Let's go on to the West. Man, I lost it. Where is it? All right. Sacramento at 7, Phoenix at 8, Lakers at 9, Golden State at 10th. Rockets are 38-37. Golden State 41-34.
I'm thinking Golden State close. Like, man, look, shout out to the Houston Rockets because they made a hell of a push. I was on that last week and I said, shit, they ain't catching. And I look up there and won 12, 13 damn games in a row.
Right. Jalen Green was playing out this world.
Yeah. Man, look.
He found out he's going to be a father.
He's that father in the league. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I get it, young kid, man. But
that's what Dre seen. Yeah, she saw potential. She didn't see a little boy flower. She saw potential.
That's another story. I don't trust Golden State. The Lakers are playing pretty good right now. I have to give it to them. I give credit where credit's due. I don't think Golden State, if it came down to an elimination game. And I'm quite sure they'd rather play the Suns than the Lakers. So I'm quite sure they're hoping the Lakers stay in that 7 or 8 space and they can get the Suns because Golden State has a better chance of beating the Suns, even though I probably would slightly give the edge to the Suns. I'm going to say, well, the Mavs moved up to the 6th spot.
Hold on. I clicked off of it. Yeah, no, they feel. They move up. Yeah, they leap the Pelicans. The Pelicans.
Okay, Pelicans are 6. Okay. I'm not worried about the Pelicans.
When Brandon Ingram did it, I didn't see a timetable from Brandon Ingram. Is he out the season?
I didn't hear the season, so it's probably a few weeks. It's probably gonna be week to week.
That was huge. But Zion, he been stepping his game up some since Ingram went out.
Zion can't come all around. I had to give it to him. Mm-hmm. Better, way better passer than I could ever imagine him being, especially this year.
So that's the play-in, man. It's going to be ramping up soon. Cause these guys, they trying to get the final standings in, and these teams, man, they bringing it every night. I know most unknown, he brought up Victor Wimby. Should be Defensive Player of the Year. He's already playing like MVP.
No. Only reason I say no, unknown, is because they won 14 games. Now, he's like him getting 3 or 4, and I'm quite sure they'll go up as the years go by. I can see him averaging, 4.5, 5.5, in the next 3-4 years. But you can't have 3-4 blocks a game and you win 14 games. It doesn't show in the win column, so we can't sit up here and say he's the defensive player of the year. Now, his ability speaks high volumes, yes, of course. Now, we don't disagree with you,
right?
But it's just them, with the 14 wins, damn near 70 losses. We can't put him there, not right now, but of course, he can. There might be one day that he wins. The league MVP, All-Star MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, blocks champion, and he might get a Finals MVP in 1 year.
Right,
he might be destined for that kind of greatness.
And we saw it these last couple of games when he was playing against Jokic.
He almost got caught last night.
Mm-hmm. So he's definitely on his way. Maybe next year, maybe year after that, but his ceiling's very high, man. I ain't think he was that type of guy where he win Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, and all that.
What has my bark been all year? I'm gonna test your mind. What have I been saying about Victor and the Spurs all year?
Well, you were talking about his durability first. and his
not that far
by his weight. Oh, by them passing the ball to him.
Yeah,
yeah. That they trying to play for that contract more than anything because they know they're gonna blow the team up.
The more and more you see him have great game, like well, he didn't shoot great against the Nuggets, but I think he had like 47-20 against the Knicks.
He made up for it on the other side of the ball,
right? But there are plays and there are times when I just feel like they could have won more games if they would have emphasized, let's put the ball in Wimby's hands. Let's let the offense run through him instead of letting Trey Jones. That's fine. Let him play a point. That's cool. Or Sotran. Letting him, like, they were just, I feel like they were just doing too much. But instead of just letting it run through him, I understand he's a rookie and all, but he's advanced. He's as I said, we thought he'd be 20.
He's grown.
We thought he'd be 20-10 coming in. He's only playing 28, 29 minutes a game. So imagine when he gets to playing 37 minutes. You know, that 3-4 blocks, like I say, it'll go up a tick or two.
Muscle Nunn said he disagreed with the only defense against him is how his team played defense, then yeah, he got my vote. It's a little bit everything.
But they can't win games.
Yeah. You ain't gonna win much.
Go ahead.
Well, when Mutombo won, he was on a great I think he won with the Hawks, right? That defense player award. Was it with the Hawks or with the
he won it with the
76ers.
He won with the Sixers.
Yeah, see, that was a good team. It like I feel like most of the time when you win defensive player year award, you're on a solid team.
No, you're not wrong. My thing is you can't have your statistics and be that threat on the defensive end, and they only got 14 games to show for it. You know, I don't care how bad the team is. If he's that great of if he's that much of a player, generational player, they should win more. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I agree. All right. See, guys, if y'all new listening to the show, this is what we do. You comment on the show. We'll read it. And if you ever want to ask questions on the show, or you got – a bone to pick with me, Flowers, RC, Tyler, Gatwood. Man, we let y'all come on live video and talk to us and tell us face to face what y'all think about what's going on in our
keep it civil.
That's right. You know, keep it civil and come in our face and tell us what you disagree about our takes because we fans, just like y'all. That's why we call the show Voice of the Fans, because we wanted to give everybody a platform to come on and speak their mind and just talk sports, man. It's like going to a barbershop, you go and get cut, and everybody talking about their favorite team, favorite player, what's trending right now. And we want y'all to feel that type of saying where y'all come in and listen, like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, like, yeah, no, I don't think so. No, we want that type of feel where y'all can just, interact with us. So,
We're going
to be heard. So, we have a segment called Fan Posts. We usually do it on Friday. This week just been kind of up and down, crazy, special for me for work and my kids. They playing sports right now, and it's
like
one of the time of years, man. One of the time of years. I was telling my brother, I said, man, if this is my job, then I'll do it 5 days a week. I might even do a special show on Saturday, but of course we got other jobs. So Flowers, man, you want to go into overtime?
Let's get it.
That's going to overtime. Hold on. Do you want to speak about Bronny and his transfer portal? Okay. I don't really have much thought to it, but I thought it was a great move on his part. Transfer from USC, that means I hope he'll go to a small school that able to hone in his skills. It seemed like smaller schools sometimes produce more polished players. And I just feel like that'll be the right move instead of a big school like USC. What you think?
I think Bronny needs to go to whom and wherever can groom him the best.
Right.
USC was probably ever the right choice. Definitely now that we're looking at it. I mean, the coach left. He's at SMU. There's a chance. I mean, because he went there because of the coach. But it is a mess. That is a messy situation for a coach to be there 1 year and then leave. And then, it gives these kids the instability to transfer. I just hate And the internet's terrible. Because as soon as you heard he was on transfer, here come the jokes. I'm sorry. Like father, like son.
Hey, he like, trying to team like, up. He trying to see like, Sunflower.
Y'all need to stop, man. I think LeBron did a great job in just saying, you know, LeBron is his own man. Whatever he decides to do, we're behind it. I think that's the approach LeBron needs to take with that from here into whenever, you know, Bron decides to do what he's going to do. I haven't heard of an official transfer. Like I said, we're hearing talks, but it's all speculation until he does it. So
right.
I just hope he figures out the best fit and situation for him to help him grow and, you know, become a great basketball player, whatever, you know, meant for him to be.
Right, because that's all I'm saying. I feel like he need to go to a place where maybe a bit smaller school that they'll home in his skills, you know, teach him, you know, what he needs to know, you know, especially in that type of level in the league, you know. And I thought USC was just a high-profile school. Maybe he wanted to play in California and be close. You know, his dad can come to the games, I guess. Yeah, his dad can come to the game. I think that's probably why he chose that. But like I said, LeBron mentioned, he's his own man. He is, you know, his time to find his career path and not, you know, be surrounded by LeBron James. He need to go find and be himself, be Bronny James, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wish him all the luck. I have to say this about LeBron. You know, I'm not a big LeBron fan, but he is a good dad. I feel like he gives his kids good advice.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, very important. All right, let's move on.
I'm sorry. The easiest thing for LeBron to do is to step in and, you know, do a hokey pokey song. We don't, you know, he knows he don't do that. Right. Let the kid grow.
Let him grow. It takes time out here. It takes time. Dang, I did want to show this clip, man. It explains the kickoff rules. I just want to clarify for the viewers real quick. I had it in my folder, so I'm gonna just show it real quick. So, guys, this video I'm about to show you explain the kickoff rules a lot better from the way I read it.
Everything you need to know about the NFL's new kickoff rule. It's going to look a lot like the XFL's kickoff. The kicker's going to be at the 35, but the kickoff team is going to start on the other 40-yard line, only 5 yards away from the blockers. These guys won't be able to move until the ball is touched by the returner. Now, the end zone to the 20-yard line will be known as the landing zone, and this is where the returner, or returners, will set up. If the ball is caught in this zone, it must be returned. There are no more fair catches. Remember, this rule is to encourage returns. The return rate last year was only 22%, so to incentivize that, touchbacks are much harsher to the kicking team. So let's break that down. If the kick doesn't reach the landing zone, the ball is placed at the 40-yard line. If it goes out of the end zone or flies into the end zone and is down like a normal touchback, the ball will be placed at the 35. If it hits in the landing zone and then rolls into the end zone and is down, the ball will be placed at the 20. But again, this is all to incentivize them kicking it into the landing zone. And if it's caught in the landing zone, it must be returned. Now, what about onside kicks? Well, the actual kick will look the exact same. The only difference...
All right, we can stop right there. We kind of understood the onside kick. That's a lot better of me understanding. I don't have to pay attention to this NFL season on kickoffs. you assume it's going to be a touchback, but now you're going to have to pay attention. It's a lot to take.
Let me say something real quick. They got me rubbing my head. Rubbing my head and shit. Look, I remember a few years ago when they was implementing so much safety, they changed the kickoff rules. You know, they were happy with the, you know, the touchbacks and the less contact on kickoffs. Make up your damn mind. I mean, obviously, this is a ploy to get offense going. I would, like, be honest with yourself, Ben, and whoever else is watching. Have we ever watched an NFL game and be like, damn, I wish he would have returned it? No. If he returns it, we cool with it. If he don't, we cool with it. Stop messing with the damn game. We don't need to see. I mean, it's like I said, kickoff returns are cool, but I just feel a certain type of way because I feel like it's now being forced down my throat. and doesn't need to be forced down my throat. I'm cool with the touchbacks. 22% of kicks being returned is actually not a bad number. I mean, right. If don't change the kickoff, just bag. Okay, you want to do that? Just bag them up 10 more yards.
That's a good one. Yep.
Just bag them up. Like, you ain't got to change nothing. Just bag them up 7 to 10 more yards to make the kicks more returnable. I like the wedge formations that we have now. I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. I also don't like the extra. Well, if it rolls here, it'll be on the 40.
Yeah, it rolls around.
If it goes here, it'll be on the
35.
It's cheating. Like it's too much of an advantage for the offense. It just that's what it's coming out to be. Okay, we're in the fourth quarter, Ben. It's 1:10 left. We're tied, and now I'm kicking it off. The ball rolls, and it puts you at the damn 40, and you got to go 10-15 yards. What kind of shit
to win
that?
The game, right?
That's not helping anything.
There's gonna be a lot of pissed players, that's for sure.
That shit is not gonna last. That shit is not gonna last. It'll be 1 year. 1 year,
people gonna be complaining about Kyle. Now, I got really thinking, like, okay, he got if he don't return this thing, then we're gonna get the ball in 20. Man, that's too much thinking. That's just a play.
Okay, like they said, because they can't engage until they move.
He catches. So who you got to call? Yeah.
They can play possum and not catch the damn ball and see where it's landing. Oh, it landed here. Oh, shit, we at the 35. Oh, shit, we at the 40.
40.
He ain't got to do nothing. See, it's more that they're trying to make an emphasis of the returns, but this is the NFL, man. This is chess, not checkers.
And they always make it like it's about player safety. How many people just actually get hurt that we just see get hurt on kickoffs?
Well, when they took the wedge busters out and stuff like that, it became cleaner. But that was the point of them using it up to get the touchbacks and stuff. This just goes back first to what that, I say.
Yeah, but well, like you said, at first they didn't want kickoffs. They didn't want returns. Now they do.
Because scoring is down.
Oh, yeah, it was. Passing yards is down, too, on these guys.
Yes, offense has been down. Defense has actually been playing better the last few years. The offense is down. Like, we don't have traditional quarterbacks. You're not getting, typical Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, what you've seen 10 years ago. It's too much movement and everything else, so it's not precise. Quarterback play like you used to, so offensive numbers are down. So they're trying to force the issue.
Right. Even with the numbers change, I feel like a lot of people complain about that. The offense coordinator is like, well, I don't know. Is zero is a linebacker?
Okay, be on the second level, you're treating
him
as a linebacker.
Right, they get me with that. Level, I don't know. I don't know. He was number two. What is he?
That shit don't matter.
They were just complaining about this. They didn't want the numbers to change from traditional linebacker numbers, 50s and all that type of stuff.
I would think the head coaches don't like the kickoff. I wouldn't think. I don't like it.
Right.
I don't.
I think so, too. It's going to be interesting this NFL season.
Yeah.
We're going to see. All right, let's go into overtime. Sorry about the guy. I just wanted to explain the kickoff rules. Welcome to Overtime. This is where we talk about sports-related content. Well, it's about players and their lives, and it all ties into sports some way or another. All right. If y'all didn't know, Rashee Rice. I always thought his name was Rasheed. What is Rasheed?
Mm-hmm. Rice. I thought it was Rasheed, too. Yeah, you right. That's it, too.
It is Rasheed. I had to Google that. It's like, his name is Rasheed? Okay. All right. There was an incident in Dallas. I'm trying to get to it. The Dallas Morning News reported that a vehicle that is believed to be registered, at least to Rice, was involved in a crash in Northeast Dallas around 6:20 p.m. local time Saturday. And blah, blah, blah. Police detained footage and all that type of stuff. So I have video of Shee Rice. I think it's, it looked like him. We're gonna see. I don't for oh, it's two. It's two videos. I don't show the first one. Jeez.
Good
news, Chris. Mm. Like they took out like four cars.
Yeah, they took out about four cars, bro. It was bad. They sent like two, three people to the hospital.
All right, so that's the first video. Let me take this down. Here's the second video.
All right. Yeah.
You guys just gonna leave it? They just left the fucking Lamborghini and a Corvette. They stole them, I bet.
They were putting firearms in.
He's like, I bet they stole them. That's wild.
Ain't coming.
Didn't no that like little she? Right. Didn't that whatever, guy. All right.
Typical stereotype.
Hey, that's who with Haver Flowers. That's who.
typical stereotypical behavior here.
Oh, snap.
He probably fucking stole it.
Hey, at least he asked if they were all right. Right, at least he checked on them, right?
Yeah, I mean, why ask them if they are all right if that's what you're assuming? Though? Like, right. You're all right, they probably fucking stole it. Make your mind up, man. You can't be concerned and then be like, damn.
Oh, snap. But did the dude in the white look like Rashee Rice?
Let me say this.
In the white tee.
It did, and this is where social media gets people in trouble. They go back to Rashee Rice's Instagram. They got him with the shirt on at some party or something. So they matched the clothes. Dash cam footage. You got a Lambo and a Corvette probably going 120 plus miles. Thank God they didn't kill anybody because that could have been the end of somebody's life, end of his career. I'm quite sure you heard them say they was getting guns and stuff out of these cars. That's been floated around. That was said. I don't know if there's any footage of it, but it's been put out there. Now, they are cooperating with the police. My thing is with that, Rashee Rice probably will get, well, ain't no problem. He's going to get suspended. They're not going to cut him, but he'll get suspended. I said this could have been worse, and I'm not saying give him a tap on the wrist or anything. He deserves to be disciplined, but him leaving the scene doesn't look good. He should have stayed. Obviously, he left to save face, I say moving gun and stuff, so he doesn't want to be in that situation with them. I'm just going to call it for how it is. I would think he'd been smarter than that, man. Like, I don't get it. Like, I said when it happened the other day in the chat, you want a race, take your ass to the racetrack. You got money, you got resources, and you want to sit up here and do dumb shit. And I don't want to come off as judgmental, you know, because I know Henry Ruggs wasn't a bad guy. You know, he made a poor decision, and it took someone's life. And we have to get better at making decisions, brand decisions. I know I don't have Rashee Rice's money. Obviously, he doesn't have my brain. I wouldn't be doing shit.
That's why you professor.
You know, it's just, you have to think about the bigger picture of things. And people are so quick to get caught up in the moment. And they're not thinking about 5 years from here down the road, how I'm affecting this person, how I'm affecting. And the first and foremost thing of driving, you got to drive for other people amongst yourself. And you're out here, you know, being reckless. I think there were already red flags on Rashee Rice coming into the draft.
Really?
If I look, that's what I was hearing today. Like, that's why he dropped in the draft, because he had red flags. So that's not saying he's a bad person, but they probably question his decision making. Example: right. What happened? What happened in Dallas? You know, so I'm curious to see what happens. Like I said, he saved face by not having no guns on the scene. And I'm not taking up for him, man. I'm just calling it like I see it. They got all that shit out of there. I'm quite sure he has an alibi as far as he wasn't a driver. I'm quite sure somebody will take the route for him. I'm trying to see what I know what I'm saying.
I can read it for you. They were racing on Central Expressway. They house more than 100,000 vehicles a day. If you got money for a Lambo, you got money to rent a racetrack, or better yet, build your own racetrack.
That's my thing. I know. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you want, like, people buy these cars, and they don't have the mindset, and the, you know, they're not responsible enough to handle these cars. Those cars shouldn't be on rural highways, in my opinion. It's bad enough you get into a 4-cylinder, a V6, and you're speeding like a bat out of hell. But man, they putting these V12s, you know, these 4 or 5 plus engines on the road, man. They don't know how to handle them, and you're putting people's lives in danger. And I said that's the part that these younger people gotta understand. They gotta start being responsible. You know, and I know I sound like an old man preaching, but a lot of people don't make it to see the age where it been. You know, right. that young girl didn't. She's not gonna see 35. You know, that Henry Ruggs killed. Yeah, so I'm not trying to beat up on him, but that's just an example I can put out there. So, Rashee Rice, bro, you gotta do better, man. Like, you had an opportunity that people would die for, like literally die for. Mm-hmm. That has opportunities you have, and you wasted, you know, being reckless. But you just gotta do better, man. But you gonna get another chance because you're an NFL player with Kansas City Chiefs, and you were fortunate enough that you didn't kill anybody.
Right. It just, I don't know, Flowers. I hate to say it, but I think the Chiefs might depart from Rice because of what was all involved, but other people getting hurt, speeding, let alone, we saw Jordan Addison do it. You know, he got a step on the wrist, but this is involved a crime scene because he hit somebody, he injured people. He walked, you're right, he left the scene, so you're on the run pretty much.
No, he ain't on the run. He's been
talking
to the police.
Okay,
he's been talking to the police between his lawyer and stuff. So that's what I'm saying. He played it a certain way to where I said he saved face in a sense by leaving and not having no way.
You're not supposed to
leave, but he left because they had weapons and Lord knows what else in them vehicles. That's why he left.
Right. Okay. But it's hearsay. All right, what you're saying.
Because they're saying that people saying that they seen them transporting weapons, but unless
they don't have proof.
Unless it's proof of it, that's hearsay. So that's back and forth. And like I say, his out back and me, well, I was the passenger. And one of his boys can say, well, we don't want to drive it, even though the car is registered to him.
Right. It's just, if that was him on videotape, then of course the NFL gonna get involved and he gonna be suspended for a year, maybe more. I don't know. I don't have a. If I look at the suspension rate,
I say
I think they give him a year. You say six? It's just them hitting people and that. Like I said, that could be him on the video walking away. If somebody would die, like I said, them people are hurt in the hospital, so. They gonna sue him. They very upset with him about the whole ordeals, like 6 cars involved. So I think the NFL gonna come hard on this type of behavior. Cause we saw with Henry Ruggs, we seen this with Jordan Addison speeding. Like it seemed like they're gonna take a type of stance on, hey guys, y'all making all this money, y'all can't be this on a public road involving people too. So you put other lives in danger.
Will step in though and say it's too harsh. I'm telling you, I think it'll be half a season.
We're going to see, because like you said, you have that much money. I used to be in the car club. I used to love to drive cars and stuff like that. But when you're making that much money, like you said, why not rent out a track? We see Alvin Kamara, Timo, NASCAR. Like, you can call somebody to get you a track, dog. If you want people to see you race a car, drag races all the time on the weekend.
You're from Jackson. They got the Cadmus Speedway here. Mm-hmm. They got a racetrack in Byron that people go down. Right. I mean, if you're trying to do all that shit, man, go to the racetrack. Like I said, you're on one of the busiest highways in the United States driving reckless. It's insane. It's
what you think is going to happen.
That's insane, man. That's fortunate. They're fortunate.
Real fortunate that nobody didn't die in that collision. And I don't know the injuries of the people in the hospital, but at that, you got to surround, like RC been saying, you got to surround yourself with better people, man. Like, yes. your friends can't be having you out there doing stupid stuff, knowing that you making this type of money that they not looking out for you.
We don't know if they were drinking. We don't know if they were under influence. We don't know. That's why I'm telling you. That's why he left. I just got, like I said, I know people probably say, oh, he's snitching and he's doing all this shit. But I'm he did this, so I'm just talking about it because that's the approach he took. So I can only make assumption for what he did. Why? I mean, it's the most logical thing I can think of. He left, like I say, he couldn't test him for the alcohol. You don't know if he was under the influence. You don't know if those about no guns. That's why he left.
Right. Like I said, you cannot put other people's lives in jeopardy.
No.
Doing this type of stuff. You just can't. You being selfish. You being entitled. You feel like that you. I'm not gonna say you feel like you're at the age. Of course, you feel like you're invincible. Well, he's 21, 22.
Super Bowl champ.
He living the life. He on cloud nine. So maybe he do feel like he can do anything right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I know I feel like I was Superman at the age without money. So he doing all this, man. You have to think smarter, guys. Y'all are young in the NFL making money, bukus of money. Why mess that up for yourself, for your future family, for your relatives, for generations on? Like,
you might be messing beyond with your second contract, your big contract. You might be messing with it.
You're a rookie. You just got here, man. You just got here.
And he turned into the Chiefs' number one receiver. And now you're teetering with the fact that you might be messing with your payday. You gotta do better.
Man, gotta do better, man. Surround yourself with better people. As my pastor used to say, you know, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. A lot of people you hang around, man, they want to bring you down too. They not speaking life into you. They not speaking positive things. They not uplifting you. They bring you down to that level, and y'all doing stupid stuff when it shouldn't be like that.
What friend allows you to get on the interstate? Like I say, I'm just assuming, making an assumption that he was might have been under the influence. So I'm gonna say maybe he might have was, maybe wouldn't. I don't know.
Right. And Muscle said, you're not old man preaching flowers. That's just real ish. At this point, I feel like every player should go through a course and show them the damages and aftermaths of these people. That's what I'm saying. The rookie symposium. That's what I don't understand, man. They literally have a course set up for you during the whole draft process.
Let's get even realer here. These players have been playing football since middle school, peewee. They have been entitled their whole lives. They never had to stand in a line to wait on food, their books. They've always had first class, this and that. The help is there. The rookie symposium, you got people that come in and talk to these kids and do everything. What did Unknown say right there?
Oh, say that again?
I said, what did Unknown just say?
He said, my big problem was them not checking on anybody else that's hurt me. Yeah, what I'm saying. Yeah. Selfish and entitled people.
That is poor. Actually, you could have killed somebody. That's it. They so busy trying to save face and get him up out of there to cover his ass because they know they fucked up. You know,
whatever. Right. They know it. Like,
it's terrible. If you were Rashee Rice, I wouldn't be in a Corvette and let you be in a Lambo racing you down the interstate. No, man. Why are we doing that, bro? Why are we doing that?
Yeah, exactly. Why would we mess up the bag? They sing songs all the time about securing the bag. So why would you mess up the bag? And also, like, we saw Jalen Carter, he was driving the car and they snapped it and they put them through the mud. So imagine Rashee Rice, you driving, he caused that wreckage. What do you think gonna happen, man?
But I mean, Paul, we know he could have been driving.
We could have been driving. We don't know what cameras. And on highways, they have cameras, sky cams. I don't know.
People have dash cams. Like,
right,
that's
dash cams.
That's why you was able to see it so quick because a lot of people, hell, I need to give me a dash cam because you'll get in an accident. Somebody will allow your ass quick. Oh, no.
Right.
Let's put the dash cam on your ass.
See? Right. I got the footage right here, man. Mm-hmm. Rashee Rice, dude. Man, what's so crazy, man? We're hyping them up. Later on the season, he was on his way up, man. It's like most unknown said, it irks me, man. I made stupid decisions, but it was just like
stuff like that tells me, and I'm not trying to come off as judgmental, but stuff like that tells me a lot about a person. There's a saying that one of my coaches used to tell me all the time, and to this day, it makes sense. Stop worrying about the big things. Worry about fulfilling the smallest things. It's the small things that matter the most that allows the big plays to have impact. You have to do the small things first and foremost. That is important. That's key.
Right, and when I forgot who told me this, but they said before you make your decision, think about who this might affect. Yeah. This might affect your mama. It might affect your friends. It might affect you. If what you're about to do right now changes your course of life to the wrong direction, then that's telling you you probably shouldn't do it. You probably shouldn't do it.
If I got a ride with an entourage or 6 to 10 people, and we gotta have guns in the car. I don't need to be hanging with them, and I don't need to be going wherever the hell they talking about going.
Right, guys. Nothing good. Nothing good. What's so crazy? It was at 6:20 p.m. Stuff like this used to happen around 12:01 when it's like hardly nobody on the road. 6:20. Where are y'all coming from at 6:20 p.m. That y'all fly? Y'all need to rest right there. Where were you going? At 6:20 p.m. Like I said, most of the time I was at a car club, we did it 2 o'clock a.m., 3 o'clock. You know, in Jackson, the roads, there's nobody in the roads at 3 a.m. There's nobody out there.
Yeah, that's true.
And
you know what? This is probably the introvert in me. You know, my opinions are introverted related because I'm an introvert. I'm a homebody. I don't like being around. I mean, I don't mind being in big crowds. It just depends on the function. I'm not about to be anywhere where I gotta feel like I gotta look over my shoulder. If they like, no, I don't do that. But Rashee Rice, I hate to see it, man.
I hate it.
I guess he didn't realize the stardom that he had, you know, gotten on, the path that he, you know, was put on. Like, you know, 2-3 years from here, he might have been in line for, you know, $20 million a year. He might have got him a 3-4 year, $70-80 million deal. You just, you know, we'll see what comes out of it, though.
Yep. We'll see what Goodell gonna do. You know, he like to get all the
they're making an example out of him. You're right, though. It might be a year because of him and drug stuff. You're right.
Yeah. Yep, and Jalen Carter, and a lot of people want to touch him because of, like I said, he wasn't driving, he was just enjoying the ride and everything. So, it gonna be interesting, especially with Goodell, man. He never know what he's gonna do. Yeah, all right, guys. If y'all new to the show, like and subscribe. Turn on the notifications and share with family and friends. That's how we grow, man. Y'all spreading the word and helping us out. We really appreciate the love.
Most definitely.
Of course, it's time for my same plugins. If y'all didn't know, we are brought to you by Bet Us. We have baseball going on, basketball playing terms. We're about to start up hockey, college basketball. I don't really bet on college basketball. I suck at it. But I've been betting on baseball a lot lately. I almost won yesterday. It was crazy. So you can win some money, man. The summer. I know y'all trying to make plans for summer and everything like that. Beach vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Get some money up with Bet Us. We got your game. And one more. We are brought to you by Locktalk. It's a sports
bag.
Paulie. Shout out to Lock Talk. Follow him on Instagram. Dude is solid. I love his app. It's a sports bag community where you talk up about the teams y'all picking for parlays. It really helps filter out the unnecessary stuff, what you've been hearing from other sites. And you get to talk to bettors who actually bet on these games, right? So it helps you put together a ticket or to win money. It's all about winning money together. We're trying to spread the wealth here. All right, I'm trying to put some rims on my truck. We got a little pot going. I'll try to jack it up a little bit, couple of inches, 2 or 3 inches. You know, I'm trying to do some work on my truck.
What you trying to put on your truck?
Yeah, I had seen you a couple of pictures with a couple of rims I'm looking for. You know, I'm trying to pimp out my ride. And of course, you know, us betting on your games still help pay for some of this equipment. And speaking of paying for equipment, we do have a merch shop. I know I don't talk about it a lot. I forget. So I'm about to pull up a merch shop for y'all. It helps support the podcast, help buy us new equipment, better graphics.
I see a hoodie in there. I'm at the cup.
Yeah. I have some new stuff in there, man, for everyone. And I'm continuing to come up with new merch ideas. I'm going to run some merch ideas by you and RC because it's something dealing with y'all. And I don't want to say it on here because it's in the works, man. I got a couple of ideas brewing here. I think y'all will like. So search our merch shop. I'm about to put it in the chat. Hold on. Most of them said Swift riding around 28 rims with the swimming pool in the back seat. Hey, true, party. Party. That's it right there. So that's the website link right there. I'm gonna put it on Instagram too. So support the podcast. You know, we love it. Try to get VOF everywhere. Voice of the fans, right?
That's the plan.
So thank y'all guys for tuning in the show. We won't be back Friday. We'll tell y'all more about fan posts. Cause like I said, we really want to get this thing going here, man. We really want y'all to come on the show, talk to us about anything y'all thinking about, any topic that's on your mind, any question y'all might have. We want y'all to come ask us and we want to talk about it, you know, throw ideas off each other. See what's really going on in the sports world. And I think it was
see what's going on with the fans time. Too.
Right, yeah. What's like right? What got y'all going? What got y'all kind of upset? You know, I'm a Saints fan, so I'm always upset. Week in, week out, I'm always upset. So sometimes, you know, this is an outlet to get stuff off your chest about the team. That you know, maybe the GM might hear you on the show, like, oh man, we need to take that in consideration.
But, look, if a homeless man can tell the Browns draft Manziel, there's hope.
Right, that's hope, guys. That's hope. So if you guys, if y'all just want to vent about your team to us, come on here and tell us. We all ears, guys. We all ears. All right, Flowers, man. Great. So, like, so we'll be back Monday. Check out our Instagram page, check out our Facebook, check out our Twitch, YouTube. I post on there here and there. What Muscle Unknown? Oh, Muscle Unknown. Say, I'm a Broncos fan. I got nothing to say right now. Man, you in good hands. Muscle Unknown, you in good hands. Sean P is here to save the day.
We need to talk about the AFC West, but Unknown, because I got an idea of what y'all might do in the draft. Ooh,
I can't wait to hear this. Look, Muscle Unknown, we used to say this in New Orleans, and Sean Payton, we trust, right? Trust the process. It's gonna get better. Trust me, it's gonna get better.
He got a clean slate. Let's see what he do with it.
Yes, he's like the artist. He's about to paint. He's like Picasso. He's about to get going. Right. He's gonna make this thing look beautiful. All right, guys. Thank y'all for joining us. We'll be back Monday.
Peace and love.
Y'all take it easy.